back to Enter the Dojo. This is episode number 17, recorded on Sunday, March 27th, 2022. I'm Carrie, and I'm here with Shannon, and it's just the two of us again because, well, Mike will be back when Cobra Kai comes back, if not sooner. We'll see. I'm not holding my breath, but, you know, per network policy, anything that goes wrong is his fault.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that he kind of, you know, took that on, you know, when he decided to, you know, reduce his podcast load, but yeah, I can talk really I can. Shannon, how are you?
I mean, you know, doing my best. As usual.
Cool. As usual. So, just some reminders, we are part of the Random Chatter Network. Please go over to randomchatter.com to check out all of our other shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise through TeePublic. And so, without further ado, we are going to get into our movie and stuff this week. But first, I have our martial arts quote of the month. And this is very appropriate because we just did our spring cleaning at the dojo, and also because you know, it's me. I'm going to quote O-sensei whenever I can. As soon as you concern yourself with the good and bad of your fellows, you create an opening in your heart for maliciousness to enter. Testing, competing with, and criticizing others weaken and defeat you. And again, that's Morihei Ueshiba, O-sensei, founder of Aikido. So this month, we are watching The Swordsman from 2020. And yeah, I'd seen trailers for this. I was interested. Mike gave us an excuse to watch it for a podcast. So once again, that's his fault. But yeah. All right.
We do what we want when Mike's not around.
We do what we want when Mike's not around.
Yeah, like we talk about Kung Fu Panda. We talk about fake, like, animated martial arts.
And yeah, this film was released on September 23rd, 2020, released on DVD February 16th, 2021. It grossed only $516,000.
I mean, it was not released
It was released in 2020. We were in the middle of a pandemic. We're still in the middle of a pandemic. It didn't get a whole lot of press, at least as far as I know. I just saw trailers on YouTube and said, "Oh, this looks fun." It was rated TV-14, so I believe it was released on like Netflix or something. I could be wrong. Had a runtime of 1 hour 40 minutes. Actors, I'm going to butcher a whole bunch of names right now. I apologize in advance. There was only one actor who had been in something that I recognized, and that thing that I recognized is my shout out to Mike for this week. So we have Jang Hyuk as Taeyul, Kim Hyeon Soo as Taeyok. I'm trying.
It sounded like he was saying almost like he was saying okay.
Uh huh.
So I was going on like Taeyoka.
Okay.
That's what I was going by based on how he said it, but that could have been his accent. I don't know.
Could have been.
It's been a long time since I've had a friend like who's taught me anything about Korean, or like since I took martial arts and I took Korean, because I did have friends who moved here from Korea.
Nice.
But yeah.
Joe Taslim as Guru Tai. He was Jaw in Fast and the Furious 6. Again, that's a shout out for Mike. Jung Man-sik as Min Soo-ho. Lee Na Kyung as Hwa Sun, and Lee Min Heju as Gyeom Sabok. I apologize if you, anyone who speak, who's here who knows Korean, I'm sorry, I can't even pronounce English sometimes. So, summary, three different swordsmen meet each other for their own reasons. Taeyul, a swordsman who in his 30s goes out to find his only daughter after losing one of his eyes. Min Se-sung-ho, the Joseon Dynasty's best swordsman, chooses a simple, ordinary life after perceiving the transient nature of power. And Guru Tae, the best swordsman in the Qing Dynasty, aspires to become the best even in the Joseon Dynasty. It's supposedly based on a true story, but I'm not familiar with Korean history either. So, well,
I did look it up. So there was I only looked up the kings. I want to see what I had to rewind to the beginning to remind myself what year it took place. So the king from the beginning of the movie was a real king who got deposed.
Okay.
In that century, and his deposing was followed not terribly soon. I don't remember exactly how long after, but it was shortly followed by an invasion. Don't remember if it was the Mongols or China, but there was an invasion. So, like, the king existed. I don't know about the rest of it. I would have to, I was starting to do some research, but like I said before we recorded, I got very tired. So I laid down. but that bit seems to be real. He was, like, taken from the throne or whatever.
Yeah. It's interesting that they had that the blindness results in his eyes turning blue, which I've never heard of happening. It's like, don't they usually turn white? Don't they usually, like, you know, cataract over and stuff? But
okay. Anime rules. That's what it felt like. It felt like the anime rules were like. It seems conceivable, but it's probably not, because that it's a color that's not possible in the natural, you know, way of things. Blues are very difficult like that to do for anything. Like that shade of blue, it's very strange.
I did like it overall. Shannon, what did you think?
I also liked it. Because I really liked how it was shot. It was one of the first things I noticed was how they shot the fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you watched a fight from beginning to end. There was no cutaway. Mm-hmm. Even if the angle changed, it was the same movement. Like, the movement you were watching in the previous shot continued into the next angle. And I noticed that in the first fight, between what's his name? I'm pulling it up. Hold on. Between I scrolled too far.
Taeyul
and Min.
Oh, Min. Okay.
Yeah, right at the beginning. So that fight, like, it had every time, like, there was a camera angle change or something, they would still be doing the thing they were doing. It never cut away from the fight. It never, like, tried to make it seem longer than it was or anything like that. None of the tricks we usually see in, like, fight scenes or whatever, where, like, cuts away to something, like, very pressing nearby or whatever. Like, you watch the fight from beginning to end, and I thought that was very cool. And they consistently did that in other fight scenes, which I thought was pretty cool as well. So there were some times where the camera took me out a little bit, like when they were in the city. And she was, like, looking at all the booths or whatever, and one of the camera angles looked like someone was watching her from a window up above. Also, it was shaking. Did not love that. But for the otherwise, I thought it was really well shot. I really liked that whole thing.
Yeah, and I didn't even notice the first time he drew his sword out of the stick. he was carrying around. Like, so I was like, suddenly he has a sort of like, what the? Oh, right. They did that a lot.
Yeah, he was hiding it, hiding his sword.
Yeah. Once I got a sense of where they were placing the flashbacks, it made sense. I called Tayoka being a princess pretty early on. Like, dude, that's like, you know.
When you don't mention the mother at all,
yes,
it leaves room for suspicion.
Right.
And the fact that the first time we saw him, he was a well-dressed swordsman carrying a bebe.
Uh-huh.
A fight scene.
Hmm.
It's very obvious that bebe is probably not his.
Yeah.
But also, like, probably he was protecting said bebe. But then you cut to, like, the future, and all of a sudden he has this girl. And, yeah, like, there's no mention of a mother anytime. You're like, oh, yeah, definitely. And especially because when they went to, like, the inn,
mm-hmm,
where the innkeeper knew them, and she was like, yeah, I breastfed you, but there was still no mention of her mom.
Right,
like,
right.
Why did you breastfeed her? Clearly not because her mom dies, because she didn't have one, or, like, he made up some story. But, like, it's just, it was pretty clear. And then there was that one shot, too,
mm-hmm,
where Min noticed her ribbon.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, yeah, he recognizes that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like how they don't, how they just don't say anything. It's just like, yeah, this is what's, yeah, it leaves the audience to figure it out and go, oh, okay, this is what's going on. And I like that. I respect that they, you know, are letting us figure it out. That's very, yeah, cool. Yeah. Any other initial thoughts? You had one, yeah, in here about this, about Teyul being kind of like a less goofy Kenshin, and I was like, yes!
I thought that was very funny. Who kills people. How, like, yeah, yeah, that was another note I forgot to put in here. This man's body count.
Oh, yes.
This movie's body count is insane.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like, yeah, and random people just would die. Like, when he killed Gurutai's mistress, I was like, was that necessary? She wasn't even doing anything. She was just standing there. Like, I thought it was so funny.
She was standing there, you know, threatening his daughter, so.
Right, but it was just out of the, like, the dude said, well, you know, if you beat me, I'll free your daughter. The mistress gave no indication that she was going to break that promise. She was just there, with, like, keeping the daughter from escaping. And he, yeah, was like, kill anyway.
Obviously, he doesn't have Kenshin's code of never killing again.
No, he loves to kill.
I don't know that he necessarily loves to kill. I just think he's not going to put up. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. It's just he just, like, killed everybody willy-nilly. Like, even the guy who was like, I didn't know, or whatever, he was like, please don't kill me, like, I'll do what you want, and he just killed him. Like, he was just merciless.
Yeah. You messed with his kid, man.
Yeah, well, his kid. His child.
By this time it is she is pretty much his kid.
Yeah. But I did find it pretty funny that he was basically, like, a quieter Kenshin. There's even a scene where the innkeeper pointed out that he's always been a man of few words.
Uh-huh.
In a very funny scene, I might add. But, like, he's just a quiet dude. Like, he's just not... Probably because he's, like, you know, he's been through some shit, as we saw. Oh, sorry. He's been through some stuff, as we saw.
Yes.
In the movie, and, you know, so I just thought, it was very funny that he basically was just, like, he had the messy hair, he had the low ponytail, he was a master swordsman that everybody thought was just nonsense, and, well, yeah, it was just funny.
The messy hair made sense because it hit his eyes, so you couldn't, yeah, see if there's anything wrong with his eyes, and,
yeah,
I liked how pretty early on they make this subtle point about how he's not relying on his eyes.
Yeah.
They because made, he, like, knows, they... he knows his eyes are, his vision's failing, so he's relying on his hearing.
Yeah. And they did that a bunch of times too, which I thought was really nice. Like, you could see, like, he wouldn't look at stuff. He would usually be looking, like, kind of down during fights. Like, he didn't always look right at what he was fighting. So I thought, you know, the actor did a really good job of portraying someone who was not 100% using his eyes. And I really appreciate that. Like, he didn't make eye contact a ton, things like that. Like, very cool. I also, well, I liked the score. I thought the score was pretty cool. But a note I also added was that it was cool. I thought it was pretty cool that we got to, like, look at something that's from, like, Korea. Because when we think martial arts, we don't usually think of Korea. Which is what I mentioned when we watched Cobra Kai, because most people don't know that the martial arts Cobra Kai is not actually Japanese, it's Korean. it's Tang Soo Do. So it's nice to kind of have, to watch something else that kind of has a combat style, kind of martial arty thing that honors Korea as well as, like, because again, a lot of people assume that most karate is, it's kung fu or it's Japanese. Like, that's all they think. I mean, it's probably a little more nuanced now, but it's back when, like, Karate Kid came out, especially. So now that, like, the show Cobra Kai made it clear that it was Tang Soo Do and, or that it was Korean and not Japanese, and, like, how we're kind of getting into the discussions over, like, the different cultures and, like, how Korea is kind of, you know, rising as something that's not only just a center for, like, things that we maybe just thought were something else because poor Korea, like Ireland, has been invaded so many times. But the fact that, like, they are a center for music now with K-pop and K-dramas have exploded. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's very cool to also kind of get to talk about, you know, the more martial art center and, like, the fighting styles and the history of that too. It's very cool.
Agreed. It's nice to examine a culture that's not our own, or that's not a culture that we're, you know, used to seeing, and getting something like that, especially you know, for, you know, in a martial arts sense, like, you know, I've been in seminars where, you know, we've learned some eskrima, we've learned some kali and stuff like that, and it's good to have those things in your mindset, especially even if, like, you're just, like, practicing, even though you try to keep, like, the integrity of your own practice, to try and have some additional influences there just for, you know, improvement of your knowledge and stuff like that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Favorite character? Who's your favorite character?
See, it's hard because it's one of those things where, like, only a couple characters really get spotlit. Mm-hmm. So you only really have a couple of characters to choose from.
Right.
And so I went with Taeul, obviously, because he's the one you spend the most time with.
Right.
Except for maybe Gurren Tai, maybe. But I also put the Wikipedia said her name was Sion earlier, because I think I missed a spot. Like, I looked away for a minute, and so I went on Wikipedia to make sure I understood what I had just watched. But the woman who ran the trading post.
Yeah.
I thought she was very cool. I wish we got to spend more time with her. Like, the fact that she knows how to fight, and she's also, like, she's a healer, and, like, I want to know more about her. I think she's cool.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that would have been nice. Yeah, Taeul was also my favorite. Mostly again, because that's who we spent the most time with. That's pretty much who most of the most of the focus of the movie was on.
Yeah.
Okay. Weird automobile sounds. And yeah, I mean, just his fighting ability was just awesome to watch, and especially he did have that kind of like Kenshin-esque style quality when taking on, you know, multiple attackers and just, you know, throwing people in each other's way and using the space and using his attackers against each other. That was really, really cool. If I had one issue with the movie, it was we're showing up to fight these guys and we don't notice that they all have rifles. Really?
I didn't see the guns until they pulled them out, but that might have been on me.
Maybe I didn't see them either. Maybe it was supposed to look like they had swords, and then what they actually had were guns. But it was just like,
because they looked really shocked. They looked quite surprised.
Yeah, but you know, but again, you know, this was the argument I was making last month when we were watching Kung Fu Panda 2. Is like, you know, Guns are good at a certain range, but once you get within that range, they don't really do a whole lot. You basically have to turn them into clubs. So, yeah. Anyway, did you have any favorite moments for this movie?
Yeah. So I put in that opening fight scene because it established what fights would look like. And so it gave you an idea of what to expect throughout the movie, and it consistently, like, hit that expectation. Also, I just thought the setting was cool. I thought, like, the tension was really cool. Like, it was cool.
And the misdirection.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was really neat. I also put the big fight scene in the middle. Like, obviously, it was very fun. And by fun, I mean, like, this man's body count is insanely high. like, the fact that they ended that fight scene with him cutting the back of a man's leg incredibly dramatically, just great. Just great. Yeah. It's fun. And then the repeat, the rematch, as it were, between him and Min in the, like, coastal village. Was really cool as well, and kind of like they're seeing them kind of, you know, be in the same space together, and then when he bests Min, he shows mercy and he doesn't kill him because Min which what a wicked way to kill somebody too. I should point out. But, like, because Min and him respected each other, because obviously, like, you know, he didn't kill him before. I don't think he necessarily wanted to kill him in the first place, in the first fight. He just wanted to get to the king, because he was running a revolution or whatever. But, like, he has a respect for this guy, and he realized that he was protecting the former king's daughter. He was the first one to notice.
The only one to notice.
Yeah. And just, like, the idea of, like, he was showing such a respect for Taeyul. And so when Taeyul beat him, as he probably could have done in the first fight, if not for what happened with their swords, and him injuring his eyes, it's just really cool to see him be like, okay, like, I bested you and I'm not going to kill you. And he's like, okay, you did. And then, you know, Gurren-tai kills him anyway. So it doesn't.
Yeah. Which sucked. And then, yeah, I like the final fight between Taeyul and Gurren-tai as well. Cause that was whenever they fought, it was just really cool. Just really cool. The sequences were always really cool. And I knew he was gonna do that with his sword at the end, you know, when I saw him wrap his hand around the ribbon. It's like he's gonna throw the sword at him, isn't he? Yes, he is.
He threw the sword at him.
Yep.
Let me just say, because I didn't really have a chance to say this, like, I didn't know where to put it in my notes. But that guy, he was definitely a villain. Like,
oh yeah,
He was killing it. He was having the time of his life with that fight, like, or with his role. He was really menacing. He killed his own dudes just as often as he killed other dudes.
Yep. Yep.
He was great. And then he had his random, like, the girl just threw me off, so bad. I was like, where are you from? Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Why are your clothes from, like, other centuries from the rest of this cast? Like, her little shiny dress. I was like, who are you with her side braids? Like, did he import you from the Celts? Where did you come from? And her snake. Just, yeah, she was wild. But yeah, he was here. He was doing his thing, and I appreciated it.
Yeah, me too. Any other thoughts on this movie?
I mean, I thought it was quite fun. I had a good time watching it. I thought it looked really good. The acting was really good, and the fights were cool. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I like that how they established that Teyul wasn't relying on his vision, and he was, you know, kind of just using his hearing and his other senses to figure out where people were, and that was a really cool watch. I don't know if I mentioned this at all on the podcast, but my teacher and I were teaching Aikido to blind people for a while. And so when you're working with people who don't have to rely on sight or cannot rely on sight, it can sometimes be a distraction to be focusing on what you see rather than everything else that's around you. So I liked how they worked that into the movie.
Yeah.
So any closing remarks, only any closing thoughts? What do you recommend this movie to other people? Do you want to watch it again? What are your thoughts here?
Coincidentally, you asked me at just the right time. I got a Letterboxd account. I'm signing in right now, so I remember to add it to my Letterboxd account. I'm trying to keep track. So, a little bit unrelated, just a tiny bit unrelated. My friend usually watches all of the Best Picture nominees. And so he mentioned wanting to do it again this year, and I decided to do it with him. I thought it would be fun. We watched most of the movies together. And because of it, I decided to get a Letterboxd account so I could keep track of my rankings of the Best Picture nominations, but also so I can keep track of, like, all the movies I've seen that I can remember. Obviously, I haven't gone deep into the depths of my film history yet. I don't have a huge list of movies. But kind of like a nice way for me to kind of see how I feel about, like, these movies. And if I come back to them, like, if I feel the same and kind of, like, thinking about it. So, oh, cool. I guess I'm assuming that's the girlfriend. Yeah, Lady from the West, she's credited as on Letterboxd. The actress's name was Angelina Danilova. So she's the Lady from the West and her snake.
Okay.
Interesting. So, yeah, I like it. I think I would recommend it to people who, like this kind of movie. I don't think I would recommend it to just, like, anybody, because obviously, like, you have to watch it with the subtitles. You could watch it dubbed, but, like, I feel like it loses something. I respect everyone who watches it dubbed. On a normal day, I probably would watch it dubbed because I have ADHD and, like, subtitles drive me crazy. I have to have no distractions.
It's not that subtitles drive me crazy. Is I think of myself as a fast reader, but I don't read fast enough to keep up with subtitles.
Fair.
So
yeah, I try to do subtitles when I can because I want to respect, like the film, like who the film is originally made for, and the language, because I like to hear the language, because obviously every language, like, it loses something when you have somebody else kind of translate it.
Right.
So I just have to have no distractions. Like, drive my car. When I watch Drive My Car, I could have no distractions because I would miss stuff all the time. But yeah, so I would recommend it to people who, like, my friends of mine who like martial arts films or Korean films. I thought it was really fun.
Well, excellent. Well, Shannon, it's your turn to pick a movie or a show or something. What are we doing for the month of April? Or do you want to just leave this blank and we'll figure out something, you know?
I mean, we could later. Do Kung Fu Panda 3.
We could.
I haven't seen Kung Fu Panda 3.
I saw it a few months ago. I could watch it again.
All right. You know what? I'm going to make it easy because I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now. And I don't want to leave our listeners with bated breath.
All right. So next month, April, we are watching Kung Fu Panda 3.
Yeah.
Which will be fun. Shannon, this is the one Shannon hasn't seen, but I have.
Yeah.
Well, until then, don't forget to sweep and bow out, grab your stuff before you leave the dojo, and we will see you, we will talk to you next week, or next month. Next month. Next week. Time is hard. Time is hard.
Time is very hard.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me, Shannon, and we will talk again next month.
Yeah! Yay.